Thank you, O Lord, for giving us the opportunity to come together as a family to worship you and to study your word. Be especially close to each of us who are here, and also to those who hear or read this lesson at some later time. Help us to focus on what is important to you and to remember what you want us to remember. Help us to avoid being distracted by things that you do not wish us to focus on. Draw us closer to you, and let this time be used by you to mold us into the people you wish us to be. We ask this in the name of Jesus, our Redeemer. Amen. Tonight, we will be looking at the second and third chapters of Proverbs. This selection is addressed to Solomon's son, but the advice he gives is preserved so that we can all profit from it. His main message is about the value of wisdom, which God offers to give to all who really want it. We will begin by listening to the entire selection and then looking at each part in detail. My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, and if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as silver and search for it as hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He holds victory in store for the upright. He is a shield to those whose walk is blameless, for he guards the course of the just and protects the way of his faithful ones. Then you will understand what is right and just and fair, every good path. For wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will protect you, and understanding will guard you. Wisdom will save you from the ways of wicked men, from men whose words are perverse, who leave the straight paths to walk in dark ways, who delight in doing wrong and rejoice in the perverseness of evil, whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways. It will also save you from the adulteress, from the wayward wife with her seductive words, who has left the partner of her youth and ignored the covenant she made before God. For her house leads down to death, and her paths to the spirits of the dead. None who go to her return or attain the paths of life. Thus you will walk in the ways of good men and keep to the paths of the righteous. For the upright will live in the land, and the blameless will remain in it, but the wicked will be cut off from the land, and the unfaithful will be torn from it. My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline, and do not resent his rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those he loves, as a father the son he delights in. Blessed is the man who finds wisdom, the man who gains understanding, for she is more profitable than silver, and yields better returns than gold. She is more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with her. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who embrace her. Those who lay hold of her will be blessed. By wisdom, the Lord laid the earth's foundations. By understanding, he set the heavens in place. By his knowledge, the deeps were divided, and the clouds let drop the dew. My son, preserve sound judgment and discernment. Do not let them out of your sight. They will be life for you, an ornament to grace your neck. Then you will go on your way in safety, and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Have no fear of sudden disaster or of the ruin that overtakes the wicked, for the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being snared. Do not withhold good from those who deserve it when it is in your power to act. Do not say to your neighbor, "Come back later, I'll give it tomorrow," when you now have it with you. Do not plot harm against your neighbor who lives trustfully near you. Do not accuse a man for no reason when he has done you no harm. Do not envy a violent man or choose any of his ways. For the Lord detests a perverse man, but takes the upright into his confidence. The Lord's curse is on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the home of the righteous. He mocks proud mockers, but gives grace to the humble. The wise inherit honor, but fools he holds up to shame. All true wisdom comes from God. Wisdom is a result of reverence for God. We are told to ask him for wisdom and that he will supply it. He wants us to have a rich, abundant life that only he can provide. Jesus tells us that is why he came. All he asks is for us to believe him and to trust him. My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, and if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as silver and search for it as hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He holds victory in store for the upright. He is a shield to those whose walk is blameless, for he guards the course of the just and protects the way of his faithful ones. Then you will understand what is right and just and fair, every good path. For wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will protect you, and understanding will guard you. We are told to seek wisdom diligently. Strong desire and serious effort are required from us. Our effort is richly rewarded, and our lives are made far better when we live wisely as God intends. Many of our problems and difficulties are the result of carelessness and foolishness, which we could avoid by learning to live wisely. And we can begin to do this by storing up his commands within us. Or as the psalmist says, "I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you." Knowledge of God involves knowing God as a person and knowing what he teaches us. We are expected to have a way of life that is blameless, which refers to having spiritual and moral integrity, not being sinless, which we, of course, could not be. Integrity would include an honest desire rather than pretense or half-heartedness. Although effort on our part is required, we are reminded that it is God who freely gives wisdom and that it is he who guards and protects us. Wisdom will save you from the ways of wicked men, from men whose words are perverse, who leave the straight paths to walk in dark ways, who delight in doing wrong and rejoice in the perverseness of evil, whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways. I found the definition of perverse interesting. Corrupt, polluted, wicked, persisting in error, stubbornly contrary, obstinately disobedient. Moral perversion has always been a problem for fallen man, but it seems a particular hallmark of our time. Many things that I remember being done much more discreetly in the past are now treated as normal behavior that is not hidden, and certainly nothing to cause shame. The concept of shame itself seems to be fading from our awareness. The wisdom God gives to us should cause us to be repulsed by all this and want to give these people a wide berth. It is one thing to do wrong impulsively or carelessly, and quite another to have sin be our intended way of life or our delight. God demands honesty from us, so if we are his, we cannot walk the dark path of deception and deceit. It is hard to resist the siren song of our day, but God has promised to give us the help we need, and he has promised that we would never face temptation that we could not overcome. It will also save you from the adulteress, from the wayward wife with her seductive words, who has left the partner of her youth and ignored the covenant she made before God. For her house leads down to death, and her paths to the spirits of the dead. None who go to her return or attain the paths of life. Some say that the point our civilization lost its way was when we decided that divorce was acceptable. Once we as a people decided that we would not require the marriage covenant to be considered binding, it was only another small step to decide that all scriptural covenants and commands could be ignored. Now, that is not to say that divorce is never justified or unavoidable, but God's word tells us that he hates divorce because of what it does to those involved. So it should be rare and only resorted to when all other options are closed and genuine effort has been made to preserve the union. We have all seen what happens to a society where the majority of marriages end in divorce and where sexual perversion is considered an acceptable alternate lifestyle. God's wisdom will save those of us who listen from this darkness. Thus you will walk in the ways of good men and keep to the paths of the righteous. For the upright will live in the land, and the blameless will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the land, and the unfaithful will be torn from it. My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Our choices have consequences. Most of us don't like to hear that, but most of us have learned, painfully, that this is true. In the case of the ancient Israelis, they lost what was perhaps most precious to them, their land given to them by God, because of their insistence on rejecting God's laws. By the grace of God, this loss wasn't permanent, but those directly involved faced the shame of exile. True wisdom involves considering the end results of our decisions, and much of this is already known to us. C.S. Lewis quotes someone as saying that Christians need to be reminded more often than they need to be taught. To walk in the ways of good men, for most of us, simply means to apply the knowledge we already have of God's laws and instructions. Without this application, we face the pointlessness James refers to with the illustration of a man who forgot what he looked like after taking the trouble to look into a mirror. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. This is perhaps the most often quoted verse in this section. It is also one of the commands of God most commonly not followed. Trust is difficult, and especially in a culture that so highly prizes self-reliance and independence. But we are told that is how we are to live. Most of us eventually discover the wisdom of this, whether we apply it or not. If we can step back a bit from our usual way of thinking, we should see this not as some limiting, confining, restricting requirement, but rather as comforting reassurance that God has not abandoned us and that he will make our paths straight if we will let him. He will enable us to do those things he wishes us to do and will remove obstacles that truly damage us. Our own understanding is very limited and incomplete. God knows all. It should be obvious that trusting his judgment makes more logical sense than trusting our own judgment, but we often don't see it that way. We should not make rash, impulsive decisions based on our own thoughts and feelings, but in all our ways acknowledge him. In Joshua 9, there is a story that illustrates the folly of failing to ask for God's guidance in our decision making when Joshua made a peace treaty with the lying Gibeonites. What a sad verse. The men of Israel sampled their provisions, but did not inquire of the Lord. May we learn to avoid this kind of foolishness in our own lives. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. It is almost impossible for us today not to seek to be wise in our own eyes, since it goes against almost everything we've been taught all our lives. But this is the word of the Lord. As we are reminded in Romans 12, we should not think of ourselves more highly than we ought, but rather with sober judgment. Much of the disease and physical pain and discomfort we suffer are the result of stress. Stress often comes from the inner conflict between what we know to be right and what we do or think. Stress also often results from the anxiety that comes from failing to honor God and trust Him for our provisions. Interestingly enough, we have found that one of the consequences of stress is a lack of nourishment to our bones, causing them to become thin, brittle, and weak. This is just another example of how we keep discovering that what many claimed were biblical errors, or simply figurative language not to be taken literally, often a code word for seriously, turn out to be true. We need to remember that there are many who have invested quite a lot of themselves in beliefs and practices that assume God doesn't really exist, or at least is not involved in earthly matters. This should cause us to have a skeptical approach to their claims instead of yielding to the temptation to automatically accept their claims because of their high status in our world. God offers us a peaceful life where He helps us face the challenges we meet, challenges He allows to occur for our good or for the good of His kingdom. If we honor Him, He has promised to take care of all of our needs and right desires, and even to give us far more than we could ever need. As King David observed in the 23rd Psalm, "My cup overflows." He wants a relationship with us and desires us to seek His counsel continually. "My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline, and do not resent His rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those He loves, as a father the son He delights in." Our natural reaction when facing difficulty in life is to complain. As Paul reminds the Philippians, this common discontent with God's will is an expression of unbelief that prevents us from pleasing God. We should accept His discipline, knowing that He is a loving Father who has only our good in mind, since He loves us completely. Any wise father who delights in his son will correct him and not allow him to harm himself by learning to live foolishly. And so it is with our Heavenly Father. How much happier and relaxed our lives would be if we only really believed that. Blessed is the man who finds wisdom, the man who gains understanding, for she is more profitable than silver and yields better returns than gold. She is more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with her. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who embrace her. Those who lay hold of her will be blessed. We spend so much of our time seeking after knowledge. In our time, we are overwhelmed with knowledge, a condition we refer to as information overload. We gather facts and opinions, but seldom spend enough time learning how to properly use them. We often don't value wisdom, thinking that the solutions to our problems lie simply in gaining more information. We need to learn to trust and rely on God and live as He teaches us to live. By wisdom, the Lord laid the earth's foundations. By understanding, He set the heavens in place. By His knowledge, the deeps were divided, and the clouds let drop the dew. This is an excellent reminder of the scope of God's wisdom. It is one thing to make things, especially using material that already exists, and having models others have made to pattern after. But it is quite another to create an intricately designed world out of nothing, with no previous pattern to adapt. "My son, preserve sound judgment and discernment. Do not let them out of your sight. They will be life for you, an ornament to grace your neck. Then you will go on your way in safety, and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet." We are to live intentionally. We are to use the judgment and discernment that God has so graciously given us continually, so that we will be safe, secure, unafraid, and unworried. Our lives are often an illustration of the old saying, "When all else fails, read the directions." We have the directions from our Creator written for us in His Word, and we should never let them out of our sight or thoughts. Have no fear of sudden disaster or of the ruin that overtakes the wicked, for the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being snared. Now, disaster is an interesting word. Literally, it means bad star, and is a concept from the ancient evil of astrology, which includes the false belief that our lives are controlled by the stars or other impersonal forces that care nothing for or about us. We are not promised that no loss or hardship will occur in our lives. We are, however, promised that God will keep us from harm and will work all things together for good. We are reminded that nothing ever happens without His approval first, and that He maintains total control over His creation, even though, because of our limited knowledge and understanding, it often doesn't look like it. Do not withhold good from those who deserve it, when it is in your power to act. Do not say to your neighbor, "Come back later, I'll give it tomorrow," when you now have it with you. Often the Bible speaks of immediacy. The most striking example is, now is the hour of salvation. We are reminded that we do not know how much time we have left to do what we intend. Also, we often don't like to say no to someone who asks for help or to something we know we should do, so we just say we'll do it later. And often we fully intend to follow through. But it's easy to be overbooked and forget our intentions when other things crowd them out of our thoughts. So the wise thing is immediate action when that is possible and right. Do not plot harm against your neighbor who lives trustfully near you. Do not accuse a man for no reason when he has done you no harm. This is a command that you would think would not need to be given, but sadly, many people indulge in hurting others simply for sport. They get a perverse enjoyment out of seeing someone suffer, so they will attack someone without provocation. Someone is out there now in our state burning hay barns for no apparent reason other than to cause harm and fear for people they probably don't even know. Until now, most farmers probably felt they could trust others not to steal from them and damage their property. In Brunswick, for years, a man left food to sell in an unattended tent, but some teenagers came by and vandalized it with spray paint and ended his season early this year. And there are many more such stories. Do not envy a violent man or choose any of his ways, for the Lord detests a perverse man, but takes the upright into His confidence. The Lord's curse is on the house of the wicked, but He blesses the home of the righteous. He mocks proud mockers, but gives grace to the humble. The wise inherit honor, but fools He holds up to shame. If we are humble, that is, if we have a correct view of ourselves rather than too low a view or too high a view, we are promised grace. We should remember that we all have the same standing before God, as sinners who need to be rescued from our self-inflicted separation from God, who God wishes to seek and to save. If we are wise, we are promised honor and a good life. And we can all be wise, not just a select few, if we depend completely upon Him. When we consider the end of the path the violent choose, we can clearly see that there is nothing to envy there. Let us take seriously what God has to say to us in His Word about how to live our lives. Let us not think somehow we have a better idea. Let us live the way we know we should. Thank you, Lord, for being with us tonight. Thank you for your guidance. Thank you for preserving for us the wisdom found in your word. Help us to apply this wisdom as we live our lives. Go with us as we go our separate ways. Let us return safely home. Let the message you have intended for us to learn penetrate our hearts and change us. Help us to listen to you and to not be constantly distracted by the many voices that seek our attention that are not from you. Help us turn away from the evil paths we so easily slip into and turn toward you. Keep drawing us toward you and never let us forget your constant love and care. And let others who see us see something of you as they watch us live our lives. We pray in the name of your Son, our Lord, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Thank you for coming.